Good morning. If you have a Bible, if you turn to Philippians 2, 19 to 30, you can read along. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
Thanks, Alistair. It's a great passage, but before we jump into it, how about we pray? Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage that you've preserved for us of these two really godly blokes. And so please help us learn from their example to us. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've had the great privilege in my life of having a bunch of older godly blokes model the Christian life to me, sort of be a bit of a mentor to me over the years. When I was at uni, there was a bloke named Tim Earnshaw, who some of you might know. He was a guy that used to meet up with me one-to-one to read the Bible. I've had a whole bunch since as well, actually. There's another guy, Dan Cassidy. He was the assistant minister here for a couple of years before Jason came. He also invested in me. We used to actually go for a run together and then read the Bible down at a coffee shop on the Strand. And then even more recently, there's actually a bloke that I catch up with monthly now, just to help me think through how to love and care for our church. I've been so thankful to God for how he's used particularly older godly blokes in my life. And many of them, they've actually invited me into their lives. They've let me see what it looks like to live out the Christian life in sort of the nitty-gritty of being a husband, being a dad. And while they've taught me a fair bit, they've actually read the Bible with me, they've sought to teach me about Jesus. There's just a whole bunch of things that I've just picked up from them. I've basically caught off them from just watching them live. Can't remember who said it, but that's actually a little bit what Christianity is like. It's actually caught as much as it's taught. And in today's passage, we actually see Paul talking to the Philippians about these two blokes that he's sending to them. And both of them, he's personally invested in. He's mentored them. He's trained them up. And now he's actually sending them to the Philippians so that they can encourage them. And we'll see in these two blokes that they're great examples of Christ-likeness. They're actually good models for the Philippians to follow, because they themselves, they're actually trying to model their whole lives on Christ. And I think as we look at these two examples, as we look at how Paul talks to them, I think we'll get to see, we'll actually be invited to ask ourselves a question. Do we have models here that maybe we can be looking up to see what it looks like to live out the Christian life? And maybe more challengingly, we can actually we can consider whether we can actually be a model to those around us. Can we be used by God to show other, maybe younger Christians, what it looks like to live out the Christian life in the myriad of life circumstances that we face? Well, have your Bibles open, have Philippians open in front of you as we look at this passage. And so the first bloke we meet, the first bloke that Paul talks about is Timothy, right? And what we see in how Paul talks about him is that God delights to grow his church to grow his people through the godly example of men and women. Have a look with me at verse 19. He says this. Let's see if this works. There we go. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. You see, Paul, in writing this letter, he cares deeply for the Philippian church and he longs to hear how they're going. He really hopes they're going well. And so as part of that, he actually wants to send them Timothy, right? And he sends Timothy not just to find out about them, but I think he also sends Timothy to them for their sake. Because he's a bloke who we read will genuinely care for the Philippians. Paul says, I've got no one else like him. And if you read Paul's other letters, you find out that Timothy's kind of like Paul's go-to guy. This isn't the first church that Paul sent Timothy to. He sent him to the Thessalonians as well as the Corinthians to strengthen them in the faith. And the reason Paul's so confident in Timothy, because he's actually modeled himself on Christ. We saw last week in the passage that we looked at, the passage that comes right before this, that Paul calls the Philippians to have the same mind among themselves like Christ did. They're to model themselves on the humility of Christ, who, though he was in very nature God, took on our humanity with all the weakness that that entailed in order to die for us. Jesus was the ultimate example of humility and other person-centeredness. And Timothy's a guy who's trying to live like that. Paul describes Timothy in exactly the same terms that he sort of talked about in the passage that we looked at last week. He will show genuine concern for them. He's a guy that's not focused on his own interests, but on the interests of others and that of Christ. He's modeled his life on Christ. And so he's the sort of bloke that Paul's actually called the Philippians to be like. And so he wants to send him to them. You see this in verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. Here we find out why Timothy is the kind of bloke that he is. He's actually learned to model his life on Christ because he had that model to him by Paul himself. He served with Paul like a son to a father. This is basically how you did apprenticeships in the ancient world. Most sons would actually do the same work as their dad, and the way that they would learn that was they basically went to work with their dad and learned their dad's trade. And Timothy has learned to live the Christian life like that, by following Paul's example, like a son to a father. And now Paul's wanting to send Timothy so he can actually do the same for those in Philippi, so that they can learn to model themselves on Christ. Paul himself, last week, in the passage before this, he's called them to live out the Christian life, and now he's sending them a living, breathing example of what that looks like in practice. See, this is what God does. He delights to work through godly men and women to grow his people. He gives us examples to help us live more like Christ. I think this is just how he's wired us as humans. I see this in all sorts of other spheres in life as well. Like, I've been going to the physio during the week. I've been having issues with my lower back. It turns out I've actually been trying to maintain too rigid a posture, and I've basically trained my back muscles to never turn off, and so they're always really tight. And so as part of trying to fix me, trying to treat this, the physio's given me a whole bunch of sort of stretches and some exercises to do, as well as some strengthening things. But you know what makes her a really good physio? She didn't just tell me what exercises to do, right? She then got in and showed me how to do them. She sort of showed me how to do the stretch, and she showed me how to do all the strengthening stuff. But then she went even further than that. She got me to do them, and then sort of checked how I was doing them. And it was actually a good thing that she did, because my form was out on a few of them, and so they wouldn't have actually done the job. They may have even caused me more injury the way that I was doing them. So teaching and modelling and then hands-on practical help at living it out. That's what gets the best results out of going to the physio, right? But I think it's kind of the same in the Christian life. Now, teaching is really important to grow as a Christian. Paul himself is committed to teaching. He's written this letter because he wants to teach the Philippians. But it's also really important that we have models to look at so that we can see how a knowledge of God and sort of the gospel works itself out in the Christian life. Because, I don't know if you know this, but preachers can't touch on all the nitty-gritty of life circumstances. So it's great when we've got models that we can actually see live out the gospel. And so I want to ask us, what might it look like for us here at Willows to develop a culture of modelling the Christian life to one another? Maybe a first question that I could ask you, do you have someone here that you could actually look to that's actually a really godly example of what it looks like to live as a Christian? I mean, this could be your Bible study leader. Bible studies are actually a fantastic place for this to happen, particularly when your leader or when others in your group are actually really serious about the Bible, when they're actually open about their sin and their struggles, and when they're serious about trying to actually apply the Bible to real-life personal circumstances. This can be a great place. Bible studies can be a great place for this kind of modelling to happen. So are you in a Bible study? But if you can't, if you're not able to join one, is there someone else that you can be looking to? I mean, is there an older, maybe godly man or woman here at church that maybe you could simply ask to catch up for a coffee and maybe pick their brains on maybe how to live out the Christian life in a particular life circumstance that maybe you're struggling with? Maybe you can catch up for coffee and ask, I'm new to this whole marriage thing. Can you help me think through how to love my wife or my husband? I'm now at the stage where I've got teenagers. How do I deal with that? How can you, like, you can actually ask people to help you think through that. Or I've seen you've been battling with chronic illness for a while. How have you held on to Christ in the midst of that? These are actually beautiful ways that we could actually ask our brothers and sisters who may be that little bit further along in the Christian life to actually model Christ-likeness to you. And you never know, a coffee catch-up might turn into a regular thing where you could actually invest in each other's lives. That's the first one. Do you have someone that you could look up to, that you could maybe look up to as a model? The second thing I'd ask, is there anyone that you can be modelling the Christian life to? Is there a younger bloke or a younger woman or maybe a group of them that you might be able to take under your wing? A bit like what Paul did with Timothy. Now, can I just say, you might not feel like you've got much to offer there, but I can guarantee you probably do. And actually, one of the greatest things you can offer a Christian is not your perfection. It's actually an openness about your struggles. Because as Christians, we will all struggle. And one of the lessons that we constantly have to learn is when we sin, when we sort of fall short of God's grace, we actually come to him and ask for forgiveness and then run to him for the forgiveness that he promises us in Christ. That's actually a beautiful thing that you could model to a younger brother or sister in Christ. See, this is actually one of the beautiful things about the Christian life. God has wired relationship deeply into the heart of how we grow and learn it. He's given us models here at church. I look around at you and I think many of you could be models to other Christians of how to live out the Christian life. And he's actually given you others that can do that the same for you. And so can I encourage you, let's be involved with one another. Let's actually build relationships that actually get to a level, a deepness, where you can actually do that with each other. I think that'd be beautiful. And I think that'd actually help us grow as a people that delight in God's word, that grow in our Christ-likeness. And that will ultimately end up for our good and Christ's glory. that's what we see as we look at Timothy. But he's not the only model that Paul holds up to the Philippians. He holds up their very own Epaphroditus as well. This is what we see, and what we learn from him is that we'd actually honour those who minister to us. That's what we see Paul asking the Philippians to do, to honour and value Epaphroditus' work in the gospel. Pick it up with me from verse 25. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. You see, Paul, he values Epaphroditus. You see that in what he calls him, right? Firstly, he calls him a brother. He's a brother in Christ. But more than that, he's a co-worker and he's a fellow soldier. He's been right there in the trenches supporting Paul in the work of telling people about Jesus, in the work of planting churches. This is what the Philippians sent him to do. He's their messenger to Paul to help him in that work. And Paul says he's been doing a fantastic job. He's been pouring out his life to see Jesus proclaimed, to see churches planted and built up. As we keep reading, we find out it actually literally nearly cost him his life. We see this in verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Epaphroditus, in this work of the gospel, in this work of supporting Paul, got seriously ill. In the original language, it says he was literally next door to death. But God had mercy on him, brought him back to health. And did you notice Paul's like, you know what, that was actually a mercy on me as well, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Because remember, Paul is writing this letter from prison, right? He's in chains writing this letter. That's quite painful for Paul. That's restrictive. That causes him sorrow. And if Epaphroditus had died, that would have just made it that much worse. Can I take a bit of a sidetrack here? Because I think this is quite instructive for us about what Christian joy is like. You see, as we've seen in this letter so far, Paul is able to rejoice. He's been expressing rejoicing all over the place, even though he's in prison, right? And he's been able to rejoice because he's seen the gospel go out. He's seen people learn about Jesus. But even though he's been rejoicing while in prison, that doesn't mean that being in prison is actually not painful for him, that it's actually not causing him sorrow. And this is actually good for us to get, right? Because sometimes it can be easy to slip into thinking that Christian joy is this unaffected calm, like you're able to float above circumstances. That's not the picture that we get with Paul. That's probably closer to Buddhism, actually. What we see with Paul is he is actually genuinely experiencing suffering and sorrow. He's in prison, after all. But what we see with him, he's able to simultaneously experience that genuine sorrow and yet at the same time experience great joy in Christ. You see, God doesn't promise that we won't suffer or that our suffering won't be painful, but that in the midst of it, we can still find a deep and inexpressible joy in Christ. That was a bit of a sidetrack, but I think it's helpful for us to just get that. And we see that in the passage. But back to our main point. Paul is sort of in the middle of expressing his thankfulness about Epaphroditus. And he's sending him back to Philippi, and he tells them how to receive him. Verse 29. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. There's that language again. And honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. You see, Paul calls the Philippians, and I think he also calls us to honour those men and women who are using their lives for the work of Christ. I mean, we get what that looks like in Australia, right? I mean, we've got Anzac Day. That's what Anzac Day is about. It's about honouring those who've sacrificed for others. I mean, we want to honour those servicemen and women who've served us in the past, but also in the present. We've seen that earlier this year with all the fires and sort of the great honor that people were paying the fireys that were sort of doing such great work. And even now during the pandemic, the same thing's happening with like frontline healthcare workers. There's actually something beautiful about that. And Paul's basically calling us to express that same kind of honor for those who are giving up their lives, not for their country, but for Christ. Now, if you're just visiting today, or if you're just checking out Christianity, this can sound a bit weird, right? We should honor our ministers. I mean, it sounds a bit culty. But Paul's calling the Philippians to honor Epaphroditus, not for anything intrinsic in himself, but because he's been using his life to point others to Jesus, the one that we're truly designed to honor. And he gets that Jesus is the one who's laid down his life for people. He's actually trying to model his life by living like him, by exercising that same kind of humility and other-centeredness, pouring out his life, trying to lay down his life for the sake of others. And that's the best possible thing for people to discover. And so this is what Epaphroditus is using his life to do, to point others to Jesus. And this is why we should honor people who are doing that now, who are using their lives to point others to Jesus. And I do have to say, it feels a bit weird talking about this as a pastor. And besides, I actually feel like I don't need to encourage you in this. We've actually felt amazingly encouraged. Like, you actually do this really well with us ministers. We felt amazingly loved and supported during this whole time. But I do want to point your attention to the many others who are fellow workers here with us at Willows, who are using their lives to point others to Jesus. I mean, I think about our elders. We've got a board of elders that are actually seeking to make sure that we're actually on about the gospel here at Willows. I mean, they're doing a great job. Many of them are really busy trying to serve our church. I mean, I think about our Bible study leaders who every week give up their sort of open up their homes and their lives to see others built up. I think they're examples of the kind of modelling that Paul's already talked about here. I even think of the kids and youth leaders that are out there right now trying to teach our kids about Jesus. And there's heaps more that I can't even talk about. There's our committee of management that look after the finances, that have worked so hard to make sure that this building happens and all the grass gets done and the fences get put in. There's people who come in here midweek and sort of empty bins and clean. We want to honour such people. Not for their sake, because they're actually using their lives to point us to Jesus. Many of them are giving up their sort of Sunday mornings to help our kids learn about Jesus. I think that's a beautiful way to use your life. And we want to honour them for it. And I think the best way that we can do that is thank God for them and pray for them. I mean, it's not always easy to keep doing that. Many of them often do that with maybe little thanks. That's not intentional. That's just the reality. And so they need God's help. I think they need God's strength. And so we can actually be praying for them, that God would actually be strengthening them, that he would actually give them joy in the midst of their service. Another way would just be to thank them. It doesn't have to be in sort of big flashy ways, but when you drop your kids off at kids' Bible time, it could be as easy as saying, you know what, I'm just so thankful to God for your investment in my kids. I just want you to know I'm praying for you, if you are actually praying for them. Don't say it if you're not. But if we develop a culture of doing that, how beautiful would that be? So I think that's what Paul calls the Philippians to do. And I think that would actually be amazingly good for us as a church, actually build in us a thankfulness. And I think that itself breeds joy. So this is what Paul's called us to do. We're to model Christ-likeness to one another. We're to look for models to help us grow in Christ-likeness. And we're to honour people like that. Well, why don't we pray and ask that we would do that more and more? Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for your work in us and through us. Lord God, we thank you for the many godly men and women who give up so much of their lives, their time and their energy and their money here at Willows to see people learn about Jesus. Lord God, we want to honour them. We want to thank you for their service. And we ask that you would continue to strengthen them for that work. And Lord God, we ask that you would help us be growing in our Christ-likeness, that we would be able to model that to others, that we would seek to train up a new generation of Christians that can learn from us how to live out the Christian life in the messiness and the nitty-gritty of life circumstances. And Lord God, please help us find people to model our lives on. Lord God, I thank you that you use godly men and women, and we ask that you would use us, that we would spur one another on to Christ-likeness. And we pray these things for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.